ヤ、ハレルヤ、ハレルヤ。The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food. My blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, the one who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we're on the seventh day of the second Easter octave. First Easter octave, we know, from Easter Sunday through Divine Mercy Sunday. Second would have begun last Friday, but because we had the feast of Saints Philip and James, it didn't. And it extends through tomorrow. This octave in which we ponder how we live with the risen Jesus through the gift of his body and blood and Holy Communion, in which he seeks to remain in us and have us remain in him always. We're getting to the climax. Today we'll have the theological conflict. Tomorrow we'll have the moral conflict. Today the theological. What Jesus was saying was shocking, and we should never lose the shock. If I were saying to you that in order to have life you have to eat my big toe and you have to drink my saliva, you'd probably be grossed out. What Jesus was saying would gross out his contemporaries. But more than that, it would seem totally contrary to the law. You couldn't touch blood, which was a source of life, without becoming ritually impure. Jesus was saying that you were supposed to touch it throughout your entire gastrointestinal system. Incredibly shocking words, and the Greek is even more. Jesus says you have to eat my flesh. The word he uses in Greek is to gnaw. As if you're going to be an animal ripping off every last piece of meat from a bone. Unless you gnaw on me like an animal and drink my blood, you do not have life in you. No wonder why so many said this teaching is hard. Who can endure it? They had no idea what he meant, and it would only be fulfilled 1 year later, when Jesus would take bread and wine into his hands, totally change its substance into his body and blood, and say, Take and eat, this is my body, take and drink, this is the chalice of my blood. But it was shocking. Tomorrow we'll see that most of his disciples, for whom he had worked over 2 years to try to bring them to faith, would, because of the difficulty of that teaching, abandon him. People who had believed in him, seen his miracles, ate the multiplication of loaves and fish. Bye-bye. You're some type of cannibalistic madman, Jesus. We don't trust in you. And then Jesus turned to his closest followers and asked, Will you two abandon me on this teaching? One did. St. John will tell us that this was when he knew who would betray him, because Judas was just unwilling to accept in faith what Jesus was describing here. Jesus didn't describe here how it would happen, But it was so important for disciples to recognize that it would happen. Because as Thomas Aquinas would write in the Adorate Devote, to be faithful, we have to believe whatever the Son of God has said, because nothing is truer than the word of truth. Jesus gives two principles here, which are key. He wants us to live because of him. He wants us to remain in him and us. It wasn't just enough of a miracle for God to take on humanity. It wasn't just enough for him to be crucified in order to save us. He loved us so much that he became so small and hid his body, blood, soul, and divinity under the appearances of bread and wine so that we could actually achieve, by his power, communion with him, with his very life. And he gives two principles. First, food. Second, filiation. For my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Ultimately, we become what we eat. And Jesus is saying this is true at a spiritual plane too. That he wants us to digest his word. He wants us to assimilate him, to become coextensive with him. What an incredible invitation. We don't know how it happens. Because we trust in Jesus, we know that it does happen. Second principle is filiation. Just as the Father who has life sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. As Christians, we draw our very life from Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. He is our life. Do we live that way? Is daily Mass just an important spiritual practice in our life? Perhaps even the most important spiritual practice in our life. Because if that's all it was, it's not what Jesus wants. Jesus wants us drawing our entire life from him here. As we come to Mother's Day, we recognize that young babies draw their very life from their mother's breast. They would starve to death without it. The early Christians used the image of the pelican as in a famine, opening up the breast and bleeding out so that the young pelicans would be able to be nourished even as the mama died. That's the image of the Eucharist. Jesus wants us to draw our very life from him. Two applications of this reality. The first is when we are in holy communion with the Lord. We're in communion with all those in communion with him. That is the sacramental reality. In sacramental theology, as you probably know, the great scholastics used to always talk about what is the sign of the sacrament and what is the effect of the sacrament. Sign would be the sacramentum. The effect would be the res, the thing. So with baptism, the sacramentum is the water and the words, I baptize you. And the effect is divine filiation, wiping away original sin, incorporation in the church, etc. The sign of confirmation is the sacred chrism on the forehead, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The effect is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like on Pentecost. But when St. Thomas Aquinas came to the Holy Eucharist, we would have thought he would have said that the sacramentum is the bread and the wine and the words of consecration, and that the res, the effect, would be the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus on the altar. But he didn't. He said that the body, blood, soul, and divinity on the altar is both res et sacramentum. It is a reality, but it's also efficacious sign of something else. And that something else is that we become one body, one spirit in Christ with Jesus. We can't have communion with Jesus and not have communion with others. And we've got to will it. This is key to understand today's first reading. When Paul, breathing murderous threats, it's one of the most expressive expression St. Luke employs in the Acts of the Apostles, goes 117 miles north of Jerusalem to do in Damascus what he was doing all throughout Judea and Samaria and ripping Christians from their homes. He was more or less struck by lightning. And he heard Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, not why are you persecuting my followers? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting my church? But no, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Those who were drawing their life from Jesus through Holy Communion were part of his body. Why are you persecuting me? Paul would eventually recognize that reality, which is why he would talk about the mystical body of Christ in his writings, and why he would thunder so much, especially against the Corinthians, for not taking the reality of Holy Communion seriously in their agape meal after Holy Communion, to be so divided when through Holy Communion they were becoming one body, one spirit in Christ. St. Paul became the great prophet of church unity precisely because of what he understood of the Holy Eucharist. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians that he passed on to us what he himself had received, that on the night Jesus was betrayed, as we hear on Holy Thursday night, he gives us the institution narrative. The second consequence is, Jesus wants us to draw our life from him in even the most desperate circumstances. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Damian of Molokai. Joseph de Voister he took his brother's place as a missionary to Hawaii when his brother got sick the night before he was supposed to leave. He was ordained a priest there, served for 9 years hopping among volcanoes on the island of Hawaii. But then in 1873, Bishop Magray of Honolulu came to the Fathers of the Sacred Hearts and told them what was happening in Kalauapapa, that there were 816 lepers there, 200 Catholics among them, and that they were dying without the sacraments. He was asking for a volunteer, totally clear that it would be a death assignment. They would become a chaplain to a walking graveyard. And Damian stepped forward and said he would do it. He went over with Bishop Magray. Bishop Magray prophetically said, "I'm introducing your priest who will become one of you." So he served them there. He did so many important things that are huge pastoral principles for us. First is he took their funerals very seriously. He took everything associated with burial personally seriously, because he said if he could show these lepers who had more than just flesh and bone being eaten alive by bacteria, but who had so many of the psychological and spiritual issues associated with being abandoned, being in so much pain, etc. He knew if they saw how much he took seriously their death, that they might begin to recognize how valuable their life was. So he decorated the cemetery. He worked on a choir to sing the most beautiful funeral masses. He built the caskets himself to show them how valuable they were. But most important is he built by his own hands a Eucharistic adoration chapel so that Jesus could be perpetually adored there. He said it was first so that the lepers would know that they were never alone, that God came to their island to share their faith. But then second, he knew how much he needed the Lord. He wrote in his letters to his parents about, "My sole consolation among all the difficulties here is the fact that the Lord is here and the Lord is never abandoning me." He wrote some of the most beautiful things about the gift we have in the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle and the monstrance. St. Damian of Molokai, before he was a leper and when he caught leprosy and preached for the first time, "My fellow lepers." He was one constantly drawing his life from Jesus in Holy Communion, constantly was grateful and returning Jesus' love with his own adoration. Today on his feast day, as we come to celebrate this Mass, we hear Jesus' words, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." And we ask him for the grace to enter more deeply into this reality and never cease to thank him. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.